Invested with purpose, making the most out of your time, talent, and treasure. Meet Christians from all walks of life and hear their incredible stories that will both motivate and challenge the way you view the world. These men and women exemplify Christian values and biblical stewardship in areas of mission, finance, entertainment, sports, and more. Welcome to Invested with Purpose, making the most out of our time, talent, and treasure. I'm Brian.
And I'm Nathan.
And today's guest is making a difference for the kingdom of God by ensuring the gospel reaches 1 billion people through the popular television series, The Chosen. We proudly introduce Stan Jantz, CEO of the Come and See Foundation. Welcome, Stan, and thank you for joining us on Invested with Purpose.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be with you. It's joyful to be here.
I was reading your bio earlier, and it's so impressive, and I love this ambition of reaching a billion people. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. But can you first start by telling us a little bit about your background and how you became involved with the Come and See Foundation and some of the books that you've written? I know you've sold millions of copies of those as well, and anything you might be currently writing.
Thank you. I grew up around Christian books. In fact, I was raised by a set of Bible commentaries, I think. So my parents owned a Christian bookstore. Remember those?
Oh, wow.
Christian bookstores. I remember Zondervan's, and there were several. Yeah, but I remember going to them because that was where my parents would let me buy CDs.
I grew up in that. My parents owned it, and then later I took it over and managed it and owned it till the late 90s. We sold them, and I got involved in writing books and did that with a writing partner, Bruce Bickle, over the next 10, 15 years, and then got involved in publishing. So I've really been around books and publishing my whole life. I love books. I love the process, what it does. Of course, the book is the Bible. And I always say God is the best-selling author of all time.
That's right. That's for sure.
We always enjoyed in our stores was just introducing people to the Bible and new versions of Scripture. And so I got involved a little bit with the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, which is a trade group representing publishers worldwide. So I really got a picture of the global impact that literature is having around the world. Of course, even then, the idea of Bibles and books being translated was so critical because, you know, we in the West think that we have the monopoly on Christianity. Well, the truth is, the majority of Christians live outside the West, live outside of the United States, of North America and Europe. Right. And they live in what's now called the majority world, which would be Latin America, Africa, and Asia. And so I just realized then how important it was for publishing to be able to go to those places, but not just with, you know, our kind of American books, but also with those that are done in the context of what that culture is all about. So. So when I had a chance then to join Come and See, the foundation that's working to support The Chosen, It was remarkable. And I got to tell you guys, I grew up, as I said, around Christian books, Christian media. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a fan of Christian media. Let me put it that way. It just, you know, it's like, okay, it's good enough. It gets the message of the gospel out there. There were a few bright spots, you know, VeggieTales, and that came out, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Said, oh, that's creative, inventive, but for the most part, I was not a fan. And so when someone suggested about 2 years ago that I watch this new TV series, The Chosen, I resisted. I did download the app. Mm-hmm. This is 2 years ago, and what impressed me was the number of views that The Chosen had. This was in the middle of season, probably season 3 at that time, or even maybe season 2. And I didn't watch it, but I was impressed. And within about 2 weeks, I was invited to an event at Biola University, which is a college in the Southern California area. I served as a trustee on that for that university. And they had a special Chosen event. So I attended and saw episode 1 of season 1. And I completely changed all my perceptions of what I thought it might be. It was a quality program with deep character resonance. And, of course, in that first episode, for you and your fans, Jesus doesn't come till the last 5 minutes,
right?
He comes with such tenderness, and he speaks to Mary, or Lilith, as she's known to that point, who has been just struggling. She's possessed, as the scriptures tell us, by 7 demons.
Right.
And she's been reciting this prophecy through her when she was a girl and kind of given up. And he calls her by name, Mary. And she's just stunned. What's going on here? And she drops the drink that she was holding, turns around. He says, I have redeemed you. You are mine. I've called you by name. And it just melts, and he just embraces, and she is healed at that moment. So that's when I was okay, I'm in. But I just became this evangelist for the Chosen, just telling people about it. Mm-hmm. And about 2 months later, I was contacted by a gentleman, Mark Green, from the Green family, and said, we are working with the Chosen. In fact, he flew out actually before he even said anything about what it was. And we sat at for lunch, and I just started gushing about the Chosen. Didn't even give him a chance to talk. And I took a breath, and he said, well, that's what I'm here to talk to you about. We want to raise up this nonprofit to support the Chosen, to support the production, the translation, and distribution, so that 1 billion people can experience the authentic Jesus. And guys, I was all in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my journey. That was about 2 years ago when that occurred, and we set up the nonprofit about 18 months ago, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and we're just getting started. That's what's exciting. Yeah.
That's quite the journey. You know, I love that you mentioned about the quality of Christian films and things, and it's come so far from when I was a kid. You know, I remember watching Jesus of Nazareth, the series, when I was younger, and my parents had me watching that when I was a kid, and of course, you can go back to the Charlton Heston movies and some of those, which are interesting as well, you know, but... there was always this thought in the industry that, well, it's a, quote, Christian movie. That means it's an inferior product immediately. Right. Like, and even as a Christian myself, like growing up a Christian, I had that mindset, too. Like, okay, well, I'll set my expectations as to what I'm about ready to see. And I know it's not going to be some Avengers movie that'll be highly produced and well done. It's going to be, you know, a secondary product that preaches to the choir maybe or something. And I like how you pointed out how The Chosen kind of elevated that, and it's really made a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stan, can you walk us through the process of producing the series, what challenges that you may have faced, and how you've overcome them?
Well, that's a great question, and it really starts with an idea that was birthed in Dallas Jenkins, who is the originator of the series. He's the director and also a co-writer, and you probably know the story, but he... had his aspirations to be a Hollywood director, right. And had a movie called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, which I think is really ironic.
Yeah, right.
That movie bombed, and it just set him, and Dallas has been very, transparent about his experience, really set him back, and he wondered, even for the Lord, should I even do this? Should I be a filmmaker?
Right. Mm-hmm.
His church in Chicago, Harvest Church, he had done a few little films, they would use for different occasions. And they asked him, would you do a Christmas movie for us that we can show? And so they used a member's pastor and went out and made a movie called The Shepherd. Hmm. And you've seen that. It's a little 20-minute, maybe 30-minute film about this shepherd who's lame. And he gets, kind of shunned by his fellow shepherds, and ends up being the one who is the first one to go see Mary and Joseph in the manger. Mm-hmm. And the whole Jesus in his arms. And so just a tender, beautiful movie, and it had that personal touch we now see in The Chosen.
Right.
And Daryl Eves, who was one of the co-founders, came to him and said, hey, I think we could, after seeing this, we could do a series on, about Jesus, about the life of Jesus,
right.
Chosen followers. And so that became the genesis of what became The Chosen. And of course, the first season was crowdfunded, and one of the most successful, if not the most successful, for an entertainment piece in history. And then the next few seasons were pay it forward. And they really came, Dallas and the people involved in the production said there wasn't enough there to keep the series at the high level they were used to.
Okay.
And that's where he and Mark Green got together. Again, it was a God moment.
Yeah.
To be together and just said, let's form this nonprofit and give people a chance to be a part of the experience, to be a part of investing in this kingdom project. And so Come and See was born. And so we took on season 4 starting there. And then, of course, it's going to go all the way through season 7 over the next few years. Mm-hmm. And our job is threefold, the foundation, and that is that we are paying for production completely. All the way through, and it's as you go to keep quality. As you guys know, it takes investment. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And so we are there, but you see the results on the screen. And then the second, we call these pillars. First is production. The second is translation. And if you're going to reach 1 billion people, and that actually came from Dallas, 1 billion people, and so it wasn't something that we kind of added. That was his vision. So we took that on. But to reach a billion people with a series like this means it'll have to be translated.
Right.
And what's interesting, the most of a television series that had been translated was about, I think it was about 45, 46 languages. And guess what TV series it was? It was Baywatch.
Old Hasselhoff.
That was the one that held the record. And so we were able to actually go past that here in the last few months, which is kind of a big achievement.
Yeah. But
more importantly, the reason for that is that on a commercial level, it just isn't viable for a studio or a distributor to go beyond those first 30, 40 languages.
Right.
Okay. The people doesn't make economic sense.
Right.
And so we knew that for us to go in, and people ask, well, why 600? And 600 really represents 95% of the world will be able to understand one of those 600 languages.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
There are many more. There's, I think, 6,000 what's called heart languages.
Right.
And of course, and there's a movement, as you know, every tribe, every nation, which is also the Green family involved with that, that aspires to have every language have a portion, at least the New Testament, and 95% have a Bible in their heart language.
Right.
But people understand, as we see in the Olympics, all the nations that are there, they have understanding,
yeah.
Or they'll understand French, even though that's not their first language. And so that's our goal. And of course, the vast majority of that group will be able to have it in the language that they grew up with. Mm-hmm. And that's a process because you're talking about dubbing.
Right. That was the question I was going to ask. The dubbing versus subtitles, because you have dubbing where you can put it into someone's language and they hear, a disciple or Mary speak the words in their own dialect, I'm assuming. You know, like, so you're not just getting, me trying to speak Spanish to dub it. You know, you're getting someone from that country that can speak. Is it almost like a whole new production? Like you're just kind of almost doing it over again?
Completely, yes. I mean, the visual is done and the actors have spoken their pieces. But yes, it's an art form. And we are blessed to have one of the major talents of the world in film dubbing. His name is Rick Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
And worked for Disney for 35 years. And it was just, again, a God moment that he was ready to retire from that role. He started in his early 20s and to join us at Come and See. And so he directs our dubbing. And it's a very, very artistic process. So the first step is finding those actors that mm-hmm. can then embody both the voice, because
right.
you want to get kind of a match
right.
to what that actor has done. So
yeah.
that voice. And then to be able to do the language so that it fits the mouth.
Right, you know, right. We all see those old, like the movies, the Asian movies where the mouth's moving 100 miles an hour and two words come out. Yeah, the karate movies. Yeah, that doesn't work.
Not good. And so that is the art form. But here's something else that is really important in translation. It's been an education for me. It's called localization. So in other words, and you kind of alluded to there, Brian, that you have to be able to then, whether it's an idiom or a word, how it's translated, it has the same meaning in that other language that it does in the original language, so that the person then, hearing it will not be confused. Like, why did they use that word? That's kind of weird.
Right, right, right.
For each language, we have subject matter experts, and these are pastors or theologians. Because of this, the nature of the show,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure that the theology and the history, of the context of Jewish history and how the church and all of that, of course, church later, but in the time that Jesus was on the earth, that is correctly translated, and then the dubbing can be done
mm-hmm.
and subtitles as well. So our goal is 100 languages dubbed.
Wow.
And then subtitle. But here's what's interesting is that when we get to languages that are probably 200, 300 in terms of the order that we're going for,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people that speak those more obscure languages are not literate. Because
I was thinking that same thing. They probably can't read. Yes.
So the dubbing may extend farther
mm-hmm.
Than what we have anticipated. But for now, you can actually go to the app, the chosen app.
I did, and I was scrolling through all the languages that you have it dubbed in. It's incredible.
You can choose, and I think for season 4, we're up to about 40 languages, and for seasons 1 through 3, I think it's over 50, that you can just select from a menu, and then there it is. There's the show, seasons 1 through 3, I said about 50 plus languages. Season 4, we're up to about 45 right now, working on others. And again, so we have a ways to go to 600, but these are incredibly large language groups, right? Because you've got Hindi, Mandarin, and Russian, and Portuguese, and Spanish, and all of that. Right. But it's for me, it's kind of fun to go sometimes watch how that language is portrayed and thinking about people who are experiencing the chosen and really this beautiful story of Jesus and his chosen followers in their language.
So, Stan, I have a question. What was behind the decision to stream versus be in movie theaters?
That goes to pillar three. I'm glad you said that.
So, I was curious, and I had a feeling I might know the answer, but I want to hear you.
It's production, to make sure the seasons can be completed, and then translation. The third pillar is free for all. We want to make sure that it can be distributed throughout the world and kept free.
Right.
That was a value that Dallas Jenkins had at the beginning. He said, the billion people, keep it free.
Yeah.
And so the streaming really is tied to the app.
Okay.
So the app is really where people can then, regardless of where they live, and this applies not just to smartphones, but feature phones. In other words, there are places in the world that may not have an iOS or an Android smartphone, but they've got what's called a feature phone. They can download and get content and be able to watch it in their language. So we're really tuned into that technology, and we're so desirous that it's this accessible. I guess maybe another word for that is, and we are blessed to be able to really partner with some just top quality international ministries. I'll give you a quick example. YouVersion.
Mm-hmm. We all know that. Yeah.
Yeah, been downloaded on more than 500 million devices, and hundreds and hundreds of languages are available of the scripture. And here's the thing. If our greatest at Come and See, greatest desire is that when people watch The Chosen, they are then motivated to go to scripture.
Right.
The show is just a show.
Right.
It doesn't claim to be anything else. It's not the Bible. It is taken from the Bible, the stories, and of course, the characters and the words of Jesus when he's speaking scripture are accurate from scripture. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's just a show. So we depend upon ministries that would take this stand, like YouVersion or One Hope or Bible Project or Alpha, right? These Campus Crew, Prison Fellowship, to then take this in languages, but take it to that application. I'll give you a quick story. Crew, of course, is on college campuses in the U.S. and the world. They've been doing a test since the spring where they will invite students. They call them watch parties. Mm-hmm. And they say, come in. We're going to show a film. They don't tell them what it is. We'll feed you. And then they start showing The Chosen. They'll do it over a period of 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And at the end of each session, they have crew staff. Some are students. Some are staff who will then kind of lead a discussion. What did you think? This and just kind of give them a chance to talk about it. What did they experience through that? They've been very, very pleased with the results, and in many cases surprised with. By the way, these are secular campuses,
right?
NYU, and I'll give you a quick story. Cal, which is up in California here, Cal Berkeley. There was a Chinese student, Chinese national, who was a student there. Cal, she became involved in this watch party. Did it for eight weeks. At the conclusion, and again, with these discussions and really helping her kind of help answer questions, that kind of thing, she accepted Christ into her heart.
Oh,
and she made a statement that we crew told us, and she says, you know, when I started watching, Jesus to me was a fairy tale. He wasn't real.
Yeah.
By the end, I realized he's a real person, and I need to commit my life to him. So that kind of thing we're just seeing happening, and it's encouraged crew then to take this on an international scale. And again, the translation enables people then, students or in other campuses in other languages to be able to watch it. So we're seeing this kind of thing in other settings as well, including prisons, which is a remarkable story in itself.
Right.
Prison has been involved with.
Well, Stan, I like how you point out that The Chosen is a show, and it's a good show, but it is just a show, whereas you want people to go to the scripture to find out what God and Jesus and his ministry was all about here on earth. And the partnership with you with the Bible app is really neat. But I did want to ask, obviously with creative interpretations, you might get some pushback, from the Christian community. And what kind of pushback, if any, have you received in this area when you're dealing with such a sensitive subject like this?
Sure. You know, it is interesting. What the show does is that it is based in the writers. I know them well. Ryan Swanson, Tyler Thompson, of course, Dallas is a writer. They are so desirous. They research so carefully. They not just from scripture, but they depend on the Holy Spirit to give them, you know, the kind of storyline. Now, the story's there, right. But how do you pull out and develop these characters? And that's the thing I think that makes The Chosen relatable are the characters.
Right.
We see ourselves in these followers, these chosen followers, these disciples, right. And we see the quirks and the foibles and the doubts that they have. And mm-hmm. Seasons progress, we're going to see that even more. And we know from scripture that even in the upper room, they wonder what's going on here. They just didn't get it. You know, it's almost like, why aren't you seeing this? Well, as we see the characters then in The Chosen go through, we kind of say, okay, that helps us identify. So to the point of when it's not in scripture, mm-hmm. and a good example, one of the most watched in terms of views scenes is in season 3, where Jesus has a conversation with little James about healing. And it's just one of those that's just has such relevance to people. Mm-hmm. And just for your listeners that are, or to set a context. So Jesus, and this is again, right from scripture, he's in a room and he's sending out the disciples two by two. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go to, you know, to witness and testify. They're going to cast out demons and heal people. And they're to take nothing with them. You go right to scripture, and even the pairings are there in scripture. So that's what this scene is. So that scene is all like, yeah, that's like word for word mm-hmm. scripture.
Right.
Except you see reactions. Like, I love it. There's one disciple goes, so we can't even take a second tunic? You know? Yeah. No, just one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so he's got this look on his face like, wow, that's not easy. Well, there's that humanity that comes through. That who among us would not ask the same question?
Right.
Or, I mean, I've got to go with that guy, you know. And Matthew wasn't quite the accepted guy yet at this point in the season. So anyway, the conclusion, they're walking out of the room, ready to kind of get on their way. And little James, and he's, if you kind of go back and rewatch some of those, he's got a staff and he's got a bit of a limp. Mm-hmm. And even there's a scene earlier in the series where someone asks him, have you thought about asking the master to heal you? Mm-hmm. And he's bother him. You know, I don't want to, you know, so you kind of get that there's kind of a setup coming. Mm-hmm. So in this scene, you know, they're walking out and the little James says to Jesus, Rabbi, may I have a word? He says, sure. Little James, what is it? He says, you've asked us to cast out demons, to heal others. Why haven't you healed me? Well, is that not the question for so many people, mm-hmm. for Christians?
Right.
Wondering, I have a loved one. I have, it's my daughter. Something's happening mm-hmm. here. And you pray fervently, and yes, God does heal. Yes, Jesus, that's what he did when he was on earth.
Right.
But not always. We don't know that he healed everybody. We probably assume that he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We see in our own life and experience. And so the dialogue is not from scripture that takes place. That scene is not from scripture. But the principles, the theology is drawn from what we know is the work of God in the world when it comes to healing. And the last line is kind of the telling one, where he says, little James, just think how effective someone like you will be healing others.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of wiping the tears and he says, oh, and by the way, little James, you will be healed. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, people, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's some interviews that have been done. Nick Vujicic, who is the he watched it in Dallas, interviewed him. You can go to YouTube and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick, who's Australian, lives in California here, but he's Australian. He says, I was moved. I mean, he just, well, and Johnny Erickson taught the same thing. She watched it and she said tears just came to her eyes. So people who have been in those positions, like those two examples, who are wonderful, wonderful evangelists for the scriptures and for Jesus, understand that. And I think for us, it's helped. And that has been a huge help to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a long answer to say they want to make sure the writers that it's plausible.
Right.
It's plausible that this could have happened, or it's plausible that Eden, Simon Peter's wife, had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people have been helped by that kind of storyline that took place that gave Peter some reason to say, Master, I know that you're powerful, you're the Messiah, but are you good? I mean, that's my interpretation of it. And again, how much have we asked about of God? We know you're God. We know that you love us. And there's, in fact, C.S. Lewis wrote in Narnia, and they come up to ask about Aslan.
Mm-hmm.
and to say, you know, is he good? Right. And the answer is yes, mm-hmm. he is, but he's not safe, right? And right. it's like, wow, that just opens up so many things. So mm-hmm. we're just really just to see how it's relatable so that we can relate to what's happening. And the humanity of the followers, and especially of Jesus, is what's just touching people so deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he's not just a symbol, he's not an icon, he's not an object to be studied. He is a person who loves us and who wants us to be invested in him and to be a part of what he's doing in the world. And so I think that's what's coming through. And we're finding people of all faith traditions that are responding because of that, especially the Catholic viewers are just, mm-hmm. we just are so grateful that there's a huge just response because, again, that humanity that's coming through.
Right. So, Stan, for our listeners who are inspired by your work, how can they get involved or support the foundation?
Thank you. That's a great question. Of course, comeandsee.net is our address, and we have, you can go under Get Involved. And here's the number one thing I can ask of your viewers and listeners is to pray. Mm-hmm. And we have established what we call the prayer crew. And it takes nothing to sign up for it. And all you'll get are updates on things that you can be praying for. And we have had over 120,000 people sign up.
Oh, wow.
That.
That's amazing.
We're so blessed by it. And it's making a difference. Prayer is what's making a difference. Right. The enemy does not like this show. Anything that Jesus, right? He's going to be against it. And so we need to pray against that. But more importantly, that the people that need to hear this and experience Jesus through this show will be able to do so. And to then begin a journey.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to meet Jesus. It's another thing to follow him.
Right.
We feel this catalyst, if you will. The show is a catalyst, both for evangelism, for people to meet Jesus, to receive him, but also to follow him, mm-hmm. which is where discipleship comes in. So you can go there and there to sign up for the prayer crew. Of course, there's a place for people want to give. We talk about loaves and fishes, which is a chosen theme. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get $10 donations and we get those that are much bigger, and they all matter.
Right.
And God uses each one. And we have just the stories that come through, both through people who have given, but also those, of course, who have been praying and what's happening in their lives. So just by going, getting involved, both as part of our prayer crew, we would love it when people sign up for that. And you'll get information and just what we call prayer crew newsletter, which is just, again, just what you can be praying for.
Right.
And of course, all the features that are on the app, such as the biblical roundtable, which I really love.
Right.
You know, with the followers to talk about the chosen and answer the questions really that you've been posing. That is, how do we, you know, what do we do with that scene?
Right.
What about talking about in investigating why this is you know, plausible and why it's effective in terms of people experiencing who Jesus is?
It's awesome.
Well, Stan, I wanted to ask one more particular question along the line of challenges. And I've grown up a Christian my whole life, so I have a lot of experience in biblical study, you know, but that doesn't qualify me for anything more than just the fact that I've learned a lot as I go, and our views evolve, you know, over time as far as you study the scriptures and you find things that hit you every time you read the scriptures. And so I know that there are some in the Christian community that view the second commandment in particular of images of God or Jesus as problematic. And how would you respond to something like that in particular with something like this in The Chosen?
I'm going to give an answer that Ed Stetzer gave. Ed Stetzer is a dean of Talbot Seminary at Biola, but he's also, he's everywhere. He ran the Billy Graham Center, and I was on a show like this, and a listener asked that exact question.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, and so Ed, he's got two PhDs, he's a missiologist, he says, you know what, I would never want to tell something, if that's their conviction, I would never want to tell somebody you should not follow your heart in that.
Right.
But the truth is that through the history of the church, visual representations have actually been a part of what the church has done. And I know the Reformation was a response to excessiveness.
Absolutely.
And setting up, you know, just these things to be a way to bring money into the church and all that, and the idolatry of what was happening. And he said, but images have been important. And the fact is, and here's what's interesting, we're seeing there's a phenomenon that's happening in the Arab world, especially in Iran, where Jesus comes to people in dreams. I know you're probably aware of it. Yeah. It's documented. And we're seeing a response in the Arab world that is pretty remarkable, where people are able to see what they've only experienced in their mind, you know, right. because it's been there. And the same thing is true. I mentioned Catholic, and I've talked to many Catholic priests and those that are in positions where they are in authority. And I say, what is it about the Chosen that draws people in? Mm-hmm. It's really, well, it's being able to experience and visualize the human Jesus.
Yeah.
And again, there are others that say, well, I don't want to have Jonathan Rumi. Jonathan is the actor who plays in my head when I pray. How can we get that? But I grew up, I told you guys, I grew up in a Christian bookstore environment. Yeah. Right. There were these really kind of funny paintings.
Oh, goodness, man. I mean, like, I grew up in, I think, every other household I went into for Friends of Church had a picture of white Jesus up on the wall. And I'm like, even at a young age, I was like, is he white? Like, right. you know, and that leads into, you know, the other thing. I love that The Chosen has taken care in getting actors that are not just a whole bunch of white guys.
Yeah, right.
you know, it's actually trying to be representative of the area, the Middle East, where they are. So that's incredible.
So they've been careful and to include women in the show. And we know women were a part of the story. But again, to kind of go back, if that's troublesome to people, we're not going to push it. It's not, but we're seeing it helping so many people. And again, God has created us as we're visual creatures. And even we have a version of The Chosen for the Blind where it's a narrated version.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Of course, you want to flesh out the description of, you know, who the characters are and what they're doing and the dialogue that's taking place. Of course, they can hear it, but and there's also versions that are being done for the deaf, which would focus, again, subtitles don't work.
Yeah.
Because people can't read because they've never learned like we have to be able to read because it's all done with audio, right?
You hear it.
And so all these different, it's not just languages, but also people who are, you know, in other parts of, you know, challenging in terms of being able to receive a message. But I think we're seeing that people, it's kind of dropping a barrier for people who don't see Jesus as a person I can relate to.
Right.
I think that this Chinese student at Cal Berkeley said, I thought he was a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And that's probably true of a lot of people in the world. You know, they thought that he's just a symbol.
Right.
But to realize he's a person, he loves me, he relates to me, and as we see these seasons go on, he will suffer and die for me.
Right.
And so it's something that I think is a great question. We never want to deny that people are troubled sometimes by that. We see overwhelmingly, and I've asked theologians, you know, what is it that troubles other theologians about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. The one scene is the scene where Jesus is practicing for the Sermon on the Mount. And this one theologian told me, that's what I hear more than any other. It's like, why does Jesus have to practice? Right.
Right. He's perfect. Yeah.
You start processing it. You go, well, he was a carpenter. Did he just know naturally how to be a carpenter? Or did he learn from his father? Was he apprenticed? Yeah. Because there's that humanity that we sometimes overlook, that that's why he can identify with us. And the scripture tells us he's experienced everything we have, including temptation, and yet without sin.
Right.
And he be our advocate. He understands what we've been going through. And in fact, if you're watching the Olympics, there's a series of ads called He Gets Us. Right?
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
And it's really, Jesus knows. He's aware of it because he's lived as a human. And he still is, by the way. He's in heaven right now, as our advocate, praying for us in his human body. And I think it's the beauty of how God has created us, and he knows us so intimately and what we will respond to. And I just love the fact, and again, great literature will do that too. It'll paint a mental image.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the Bible does that. Look how many stories Jesus told.
Oh, yeah.
And only imagine when he was telling about the lost coin or the lost son or the prodigal son or the, you know, the people that their minds were going nuts. They were picturing this stuff.
Right.
So that there's that aspect of our faith that is very human and tangible. And yet Jesus was fully God.
Yeah.
And we've seen him heal. We've seen him, you know, do those miraculous things that Jesus could do for a reason.
Right.
You know, so people would know and would come to him. So as followers.
Right. Well, I know we're going to see in as the show progresses, we will see more of Jesus's humanity, because of course you'll have a scene in the Garden of Gethsemane where he's praying to ask that God not do this. You know, he is human, and he obviously felt pain, and he, you know, the human part of him was not really keen on crucifixion and death and God's wrath, but ultimately his sacrifice for us is what came through. So I know as we get down there, we're going to see more of that, yeah. I'm sure.
Beautifully done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great comment. And yes, it's there. By the way, they're filming that season right now.
Oh, wow. That'll be interesting. That's
awesome. With that moment in the garden. And then season six is the crucifixion season. So that's coming. They haven't started that yet. But it's always, you know, right now where season four is available, and you can stream it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. In it, they're completing the filming of season five, and they've been working on the scripting for season six. So it's got that cadence to it.
Yeah.
And just pray for all of that, because it's a heavy responsibility to really, as we all do, is we look at scripture and you know, the Apostle Paul, right? He said, get good at scripture, right. You know, study to show yourself approved,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes work. And I hope it inspires people to go deeper in the scriptures and to see
absolutely.
Just the beauty of what we have in our, you know, that God has given. And the book, that is the inspired word of God. That's the inspiration,
right?
The show is the show to tell us the story, but it's the Bible and the encounter with Jesus through the Holy Spirit that is going to make the supernatural difference in our lives. Right. For eternity, but it starts now, right?
Yeah.
For the world to do right here on earth.
Absolutely. So The Chosen, Stan, is no longer listed as Angel Studios content. Can you explain for our audience the separation and what led to that decision?
Sure. It, as I said, the first three seasons, and Dallas has said without Angel, there would be no Chosen.
Right.
So there was funding, and then it went to Pay It Forward. And really, the Pay It Forward model wasn't adequate to keep up with the production, and that's why Dallas out and the foundation was really set up, Come and See, so that there would be the funding needed to do a quality show. And so there was an agreement in place for that relationship to end, and they did end just here a couple months ago,
yeah.
If not more recently. And so then Come and See is now the primary. There was still a little Pay It Forward money that was going to The Chosen, but that's done. And so the only way to support The Chosen financially is through Come and See.
Gotcha.
And here's the other good thing, 100%, because of some generous families that cover the overhead of Come and See, and this is unusual in a nonprofit, 100% of the dollars that people give go to the show for
that's really neat.
Translation and distribution through these ministries. So,
we're
very mindful of that, and by God's grace, that'll never change. And so we can always tell people that, and we make that very, very clear for people. So it's available in the Chosen app, which people can download for free and be able to watch it. And but it's also streaming if they want to see it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, yeah, and it's one of those things that it takes a lot of people to bring the show, to put the show together. It's, as I said, it's being filmed, and the primary set is in Dallas, mm-hmm. Midlothian, and it's remarkable to see. I've never been around a movie set before, but boy, the complexity and the number of people it takes.
I can only imagine, yeah.
Right.
But that professionalism, again, but leads to the quality. But there's a heart there. There's a desire. It's not lost on the writers and the producers of The Chosen that this is a higher purpose than just making a show. But the purpose of what they're doing, their ambition and their calling is to make a high quality TV show about Jesus and his followers.
So the one last question I did have, because you have a lot of ambitious goals, and some of them you're working rapidly towards, with reaching 1 billion people and dubbing all of the shows and doing subtitles for those that you can't dub and everything else. Obviously, we know that the story of Jesus here on earth has an ending point, which you've kind of pointed out is coming up in season seven. Is there something in the future that you all are thinking about doing to move beyond this, or anything else you want to discuss?
Sure. Well, The Chosen and Come and See are separate entities. So mm-hmm. The Chosen is a for-profit production for The Chosen.
Right.
Come and See is our, again, our mission is to reach 1 billion people with the authentic Jesus. And that way we're doing it is through the Chosen. And I would say, yes, so that's our focus right now. Mm-hmm. But maybe the production company may have other ambitions to do other biblical stories. And that's something that, we certainly know about, but our focus is certainly on the Chosen.
Right.
We would love for the Book of Acts. Can you see what that would be? Almost like
that would be an incredible story. Yes.
Because it's that our church that I attend here in Southern California, we're going through the Book of Acts now, and I can't help but start visualizing. Boy, that would be great if that was that. So, but we don't have anything firm on any of that. But we do know the cadence of the show itself, mm-hmm. and it said. The Garden of Gethsemane, and they're actually again involved with that right now, and I've been told it's a closed set, so people aren't really able to go see it. Mm-hmm. But by those, it's just a beautiful set that they built for that. I can only imagine right. what that like when season 5 is released, and then of course the challenge and the story we know is so. Emotional and cosmic right. in what's happened then with the crucifixion season, of course, the resurrection season, which is season 7.
Oh, right. The great hope that it gives us all. Yeah. I love the ambition and the mission that you all have to reach everyone for the gospel, because obviously we need to do that in this world for Jesus to return. And there's ways to do that with scripture and Bible translations, which we've been doing so long, but the film media is a really interesting way to really go about getting a, like you said, a visual representation of what it would be like. So you've said it multiple times, but where can people find the app and the information on Come and See Foundation and everything else that they need to find about you all?
Sure. Well, the app is easy. So whether you have Android or iOS, just go to your app store and just put The Chosen, and you'll see the three little fish, the two black ones going one way and the green one, mm-hmm. or the teal one going the other direction. And that just is free and has all the seasons 1 through 4 available in the multiple languages that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And then all the features too, the backstory features, they've got lots of behind the scenes stuff, as well as the theological or biblical roundtables, they call it. Mm-hmm. And that's always going to be free. So that is something I think that people can do right away. And then the website, comeandsee.net, will give you access to kind of who we are, what Come and See is, and the leadership behind it, what our purpose is, but also the prayer component that goes with that. And then some other features that would be available for people to look at, and of course for donors, and we just are so grateful for everything that people are willing to do and give towards this project. And again, 100% then goes toward production, translation, and distribution of The Chosen to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Absolutely. Awesome. I took a little quick peek and one of those charity rankers, and you guys rank really high, which is always a great thing to see, that right. the money is going towards what you're giving and not overhead and all this other stuff. So again, fantastic. Stan, thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stan.
Thanks for what you're doing, your ministry. It's fantastic. I love it, and it's been an honor to be a part of it.
Invested with Purpose is brought to you by Timothy Partners Limited, advisor to the Timothy Plan Funds. Timothy Plan is a family of biblically responsible mutual funds and ETFs. For more information, please visit Timothy Plan's website at www.timothyplan.com. Some of our podcast guests may have a relationship with Timothy Partners Limited on behalf of Timothy Plan, including affiliations, partnerships, or sponsorships. However, guests are not compensated for their appearances, and their opinions do not constitute paid testimonials. Please be aware that investments carry risks and individual experiences may vary. Consult with a financial advisor for personalized advice. And remember to find us on all of the major social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.